May the Lord help us to commence this morning with hymn 1069. See, Lord, before thy throne of grace, a wretched wanderer mourn. Thyself has bid me seek thy face, thyself has said, return. 1069.
Let us read together from Paul's epistle to the Colossians, reading chapters 2 and 3. Colossians, chapters 2 and 3. For I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God, and of the Father, and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. And ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the flesh of the, through the faith of the operation of God, who has raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your sins and uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink, or in respect of an holy day, or of the new moon, or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshipping of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, and not holding the head from which all the body, by joints and bands, having nourishment, ministered and knit together, increaseth with the increase of God. Wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are ye subject to ordinances? Touch not, taste not, handle not, which are to perish with the using, after commandments and doctrines of men, which things having indeed a show of wisdom in will worship and humility, and neglecting of the body, not in any honour to the satisfying of the flesh. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and having put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you, richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Give thanks to God and the Father by him. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. servants. Obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily, as to the Lord, and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive the wrong which he doeth, hath done, and there is no respect of persons. May God so bless his own word and help us to pray. Our kind and most merciful God, we thank thee for thy goodness and mercy to us even this day. Lord, that thou should hear a poor sinner's prayers, as weak and poor as they have been, yet, Lord, thou knowest they have covered many anxieties. But, Lord, there are greater things than this we have in mind. We stand before thy people here, and each one, Lord, has a never-dying soul, and time on this earth cannot be long for any one of us, because our lives are like a vapour that passes away. And Lord, what will the end of these things mean for each one of us? For surely, Lord, we stand this day being reminded of what thou said unto Martha. Thou hast said to her, one thing is needful, and Mary has chosen that better part, which should not be taken away from her. O Lord, may that same abounding grace abound in us, Lord, that we might draw near to the Saviour by the grace of God. For, Lord, we cannot believe in the Saviour without thy abounding grace. We can do nothing of ourselves. And, Lord, what poor and needy sinners we feel to be. Lord, wilt thou cut us off? Wilt thou abandon us forever? Wilt thou not ever cause us to pray and come to the throne of grace? Lord, thou knowest we have had those good times, but they are scattered. They seem to be few and far between. But Lord, those dark times, those fearful times, those times of sorrow and grief because of our former sins, oh, seem to erupt so much. Oh Lord, we plead with thee that it may be different. We praise thee, Lord, that a springtime might be near, that we may hear the singing of birds in the land once again, wherein our hearts may rejoice. Lord, thou canst alter these things. How we have seen the changing of the weather so much recently, which reminds us, Lord, that all things are in thy hand. Lord, if thou canst so change the weather, and thou dost change it, can thou not also change our heart, our spirit, and our attitude? Lord, there's so much wrong within us, which we need thee, Lord, to make right. Lord, have we not sometimes promised, have we not vowed from time to time what we would do and what we would say, and yet it has never come to pass? Hast thou not said, pay thy vow now in the presence of all people? Lord, our poor flesh trembles when we think of these words. But by thy grace, Lord, thou hast enabled us from time to time to pay our vows before all people and thus declare our faith and hope in the Lord Jesus Christ, his death, his resurrection, yea, his entering into glory. And Lord, will that day come when we shall see thee exactly as thou art, without a cloud between? Lord, we are reminded the many things that have transpired since we gathered here last. Things that we look not for, but Lord, we can but look to thee, to come and make rough places plain, crooked paths straight. And if thy correcting hand, Lord, is upon us, oh, may we then bow to the rod. But Lord, hast thou not said, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous but grievous, nevertheless afterward? Oh Lord, oh, we do desire that we might see an afterward, a bringing forth to the light, the manifestation of the love of Christ in poor sinners' hearts, the conversion, Lord, of their hearts from the things of this world, to abandon them all of them, and thus, the Lord, delight ourselves in Jesus Christ alone. We do plead with thee, Lord, that thou wilt come and bless thy people that gather here from time to time, those with us here today and those who have gone away for a time. These things are all in thy hand, and we pray that we might prove that the Lord has stood above it. And Lord, there is a reason for all these things. So Lord, we ask thee, or they may find a unity between them here, even the love of Christ that binds them. Save them, Lord, we pray, from the devil entering in, seeking whom he may devour. But Lord, may they be found joined together in the bonds of the gospel of Jesus Christ, our Saviour. We ask thee, Lord, that their prayers and our prayers may be for one another, that we might truly fulfil that twofold precept, brethren, pray for us. And Lord, have we prayed for one another as we ought? Or Lord, do we select who we will pray for? But surely we should pray for our enemies also. And that is no easy matter, Lord, for us. But thou hast said, if we do not pray for them and forgive them, then thou wilt not forgive us either. And oh Lord, but see what we need to be forgiven. A multitude of sins, a multitude of crimes. And Lord, more than we know ourselves, but they're all known to thee. Lord, it's no news to any of us, but today is the Sabbath. But what we pray for, Lord, is this, that may it be a Sabbath to remember, a Sabbath of rest, a Sabbath, Lord, when we find thee near and, Lord, can enjoy that sweet peace of mind and thy presence. Lord, these occasions seem to grow further and further apart. But Lord, thou canst change their order. And thou, Lord, canst melt these hard hearts of ours and make them soft. Remember, Lord, we pray, the young and rising generation. Surely it is good that we find a younger generation growing up into womanhood and manhood. And what a delicate time in life that is, full of wonders, full of new doors and openings, which can only be right or wrong as they are ordered by thee. Help them, Lord, in tender years to commit their way unto the Lord, that thou might bring it to pass. Now, Lord, help this poor sinner to speak in thy great and holy name. We do, Lord, desire to speak to thy honour and to thy glory, and for the good of never dying souls. Deliver us, Lord, from all interference through ailments thou canst cause these to cease. Oh, hear us, Lord, as poor as we are, from heaven thy dwelling place, that we might praise thy great and holy name and sing and speak like the blind man did, that Jesus hath done all things well. So hear our poor, feeble cries. We ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Hymn 1119. Jesus, thou almighty Saviour, prostrate at thy feet I lie. Humbly I entreat thy favour, condescend to hear my cry. 1119.
the Lord may be pleased to help me, I seek to set before your prayerful attention the 10th verse in the 2nd chapter of Colossians. Colossians chapter 2, verse 10. And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. Paul, he is writing to the Colossians and those also of Laodicea. He speaks in such a way that these two companies might be joined and bound together in one, and that there should be no separation between them, and that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love. What a beautiful expression that is, knit together in love. I suppose the nearest illustration we have to that is a God-given marriage between man and woman, is it not? It binds them together in love. Some will say, yes, we were married, but it wore out, and the whole thing's fallen apart. Or we may say, yes, I used to go to a place of worship, but it just wore thin. I found other things to do, and it fell apart. So I don't go now, or very occasionally. You may well say, yes, I have vowed many things, but when it came to, I couldn't bring myself to it. And so the whole thing has become very cool and indifferent. But I feel so discouraged by it all. I cannot get back to where I would be. I seem to be holding so much in my hand that is not beneficial to me at all. And it could be said these things are robbers of my better joys. Putting in short, alas, I am a complete failure. My hope, my prospect, oh, of heaven and peace at last, seems to be non-existent. My expectation is that the Lord will cast me out as a hypocrite, a runaway, one indeed. I say, it's not worthy of the least of his mercies. True, we're not. But you know, as the Apostle Paul, writing to Philemon, concerning Onesimus, who've run away from him, done wrong, but have been united with Paul in Rome. Paul writes to Philemon suggesting that there should be reconciliation and forgiveness. And he uses this strong point for love's sake. I say for love's sake. Does the love still exist in your heart towards the Lord's people? Can you still say, let this people be my people? May I be found amongst them now and through eternity? But we have to go further than that. Can you say, let this Jesus be my Jesus? Can he be my all?
Will he be my Saviour? Will he forgive all my sins and all my transgressions? Just look how black and how foul I am. I am black to the core. And I say, what a wonderful a note that strikes in our heart, that he says that he'll wash us and he will be whiter than snow, and that we shall be, though our sins be so great, they shall be as scarlet. Oh, may the Lord so bless us. Oh, with the fullness of redemption in his own dear Son. And can you obtain this anywhere that you know of in this world? Why, no. Everything is dyed with sin. Everything speaks against us. And especially as we see the world today, perhaps we've never seen it before. All is sin. All is antichrist. All is against you. And shall I be in league with such a spirit as that? My friends, the apostle so speaks to the dear saints at Colossae and says this, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. All the fullness of God in Jesus Christ. Everything is there. And so he follows in this 10th verse, and ye are complete in him. Why, he is complete, Saviour. He is completely merciful and gracious. The Lord doesn't pardon a poor sinner just some of his sins, and tells us, he does not tell us we'll have to work out the rest and make up the balance thereof, for it will not do. Excuse me. We know this, that the more we strive against sin's power, we sinned and stumbled, yet the more. So we are found in the balance. We are found wanting. We have completely misunderstood the gospel and the love of Christ. How often that is the case. Excuse me. Yes, we completely misunderstood why Christ Jesus came into the world. Why God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I say, oh poor sinner, have I described some of your feelings? Sometimes the feelings, excuse me, in this, that we are such a worthless, wretched worm. It will be a wonder, if when that great day comes, when he should gather all his people unto himself, and they should join in the everlasting song, that we shall stand amongst them. I say, what a wonder that is. So we come to this verse. And ye are complete in him. I'm so sorry. Completing Jesus Christ. First of all, I want to look at it from this viewpoint. And that is the completeness of Jesus Christ. When man was created, he was completely holy. He was completely good. There was no fault found in him, because God had created us. Yea, it was Satan that overcame man and tempted him to sin against his creator. And so that beautiful holiness in which he was made, he became a filthy, sinful wretch in the eyes of God and under his curse. But God sent his only begotten Son, born of a woman, and in him could be found no blemish at all. A wonder of wonders. Mary, his mother, in the flesh, needed him as much as you and I do, because she was a woman, the seed of Adam who fell, but being overshadowed by the Holy Spirit, that holy thing that was created in her, was so that Jesus Christ should not be found sinful in any way at all. He had this wonderful endorsement upon him. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. God would never have said that if it had been otherwise. And God had sent him to come in this appointed way to save his people from their sins. And it must be said and noted that did you ever find sin in the Lord Jesus Christ? In thought, in word, deportment, and his dress code, and his compassion and love to poor and needy creatures. When men would cast poor sinners by, the Lord Jesus Christ showed his love and mercy to him. Yes, he was complete in all he did. When it came to healing sicknesses, he never said you'll have to come back tomorrow or so many weeks time and I'll have to have another go at it. Like doctors would today. We're not criticizing them. But my friends, when Jesus spoke the word, it was complete and it was done. How the centurion bore that out. And he said, I am a man of authority and under authority. And when the command is given, those subject to that authority do it instantaneously. But thou who art the Son of God, all thou hast to do is speak the word, and my servant shall be made whole. I say, oh, that poor man, that dear man, rather, was complete in Jesus Christ. because his healing was perfect. And how we live to prove the way the Lord deals with us in our perfect ways. And it is for this end. I go a step farther. Have we been living in such a way that we have ignored the word of God? We have ignored the promises. We have indeed kicked against the pricks as Saul did, to take no heed what the Almighty says. You say, well, that man, that woman, she deserves all that comes to her. We have to say, yes, amen, that's true. That's what I fear. But my friend, Jesus did not operate like that. Why, he said, bring him unto me. Bring him unto me. And just see what it takes sometimes to bring a poor sinner unto Jesus Christ. And there it is, you find, as he is complete, so I am complete, subject to his healing power, his love, and his forgiveness. I say, you are complete in him, my friend. And none can alter it. None can change it. See how Paul speaks in the 8th chapter of Romans, where he said, who can lay any charge to God's elect? We bring in here, friends, you're not only been subject of his mercy, you're chosen in him. You're elected by him from all eternity. I say, blessed be his name. The Lord is God. I say, why should the Lord choose me? How could he choose me? He couldn't choose me on the basis of my goodness, my uprightness, my holiness, but only what the Lord Jesus Christ is for me. Why? That he should suffer the punishment in my place instead. How that's been a trial to me from time to time with regard to Christ's sufferings for me. Because I was greatly tempted after I felt the Saviour's love that I'd sinned so much since, and as a real grief to me. It was a complete grief, friends. It was indeed, and still is, that I should drag my dear Saviour's name through the dirt and in the mire. But you are complete in him. Friend, the Lord, he does not forgive us in part, but he forgives us completely. Completely. And how is this so? You say, well, that's his nature. That's the sort of thing he does. It's not quite like that, is it? The fact, the sufferings of Christ upon Calvary, coming into this world, were completely according to the covenant of grace, according to the will of his Father. But it wasn't just satisfactory, but it was completely satisfactory. For they could find no spot or blemish in him, as was always to be found in the, typically, in the offering up of the lamb, that it must be without spot and without wrinkle. Friend, no spot nor wrinkle was found in the Saviour. And thus he was found there, and he's heard to say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. But my friend, Jesus completely knew what they were doing. He completely knew why he was suffering. He knew indeed that all his people must be saved, not just some, But oh, the election of grace, completely. Oh, I say, numbered with them may I be, now and through eternity. And ye are complete in him. I say, is there one here who has vowed and said many things they would do if the Lord would save them and be merciful to them? And has he not performed that work in you and for you completely? Far better than you could ever hope or think for. You see, he's removed a lot of mire away. I see things differently to what I once did. It's true. But what? You want something else. You want a repetition of those things. And why do you say it's laid this down firmly? Is it indeed because you doubt and mistrust what he has already said to thee? Is that kind? Is that loving to him? Oh, I say, ye are complete in him. Yes, because he loved thee with an everlasting love, and with loving kindness he has drawn thee. How many of us here this morning know what it is to know that drawing power of the Almighty? That drawing power. I tell you something. I know what it is when sin and wrong within me, it doesn't draw me to the Almighty, but draws me away. Leave me with a cold, hard heart. No feeling for prayer, no desire for meditation or the reading of his word. No. But ye are complete in him. Nothing alters, nothing changes. That's a wonderful thought, you know. He said, I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. And is that so? Felt so many times. Will I be consumed? Will I be cast out of his sight? No, forever. Shall I need be cast into that bottomless pit? A pit whereby you can never return, because it has no bottom, but completely sinking now and eternally. Do you cry unto the Saviour today, hold thou me up, and I shall be safe? I say, a wonder indeed to be complete in him, because he holds you up. No strength of our own, but completely reliant upon the Saviour's strength. Is he lovely unto thee? Can you say he's the altogether lovely and the chief among 10,000? That's what he says, is he not, up to the spouse? And will he not indeed, the spouse, say of him that Jesus had done all things well for her? For she gives that beautiful illustration, does he not, of her beloved, to the call, to the answer of her companions. What is your beloved more than my beloved? And she gives an explanation. And you can say, well, I don't understand that. No, but she did. And the explanation that you give, our friend, some might not understand, but you do. And you understand, because he has given you that faith by his grace to trust in him and in him alone. Oh, I say, ye are complete in him. Is it down indeed a matter of forgiveness? Forgiveness. We pray that we might be forgiven. Do you ever pray that he will give us grace to forgive others also? Not an easy matter, is it? No. But it is a different matter when the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ works in our heart. As I, in my opening remarks, I spoke about forgiveness for love's sake. Do we want to forgive? Which is one thing indeed to forgive, but oh, it's another matter to forget. Sometimes, you know, you say, well, I can't forget passing through that period of time. No, because I say every wound, though it will be healed, completely healed, it will leave a scar. But how good that is when all the healing of the Lord Jesus Christ so blots out our transgressions that he does not leave a scar behind, completely healed, completely pardoned and forgiven, as made one in Christ Jesus, called indeed to enter into the joy of our Lord when we come down to our end from this world. Friend, every soul that enters into heaven, they will be complete, but not in themselves. But as Jesus gives and Jesus supplies everything that they are in need of. And who can know better what we need of than the Lord Jesus Christ? Hast thou said in thine heart that he hasn't done what I wanted him to? And I say, have you done what he wanted you to? Are ye complete in him in obedience and fretting indeed because something else you want? I don't know what that is, but Jesus does. He is an all-sufficient Saviour. He gives to us all that we surely need. He doesn't leave anything out. It will not be said in that great day, this man has been washed from his sin, but only on the surface. He still has sin within his heart that he doesn't know anything about, and therefore he can't come in here. My friend, the Lord completely washes his people inside and out. We need to remember that. My friend, does he wash the inside clean? About the outside still carries on, wallowing in the mire, like the cell which once was washed. My friend, not so. We are completely changed in style of life. Walk nearer to the Lord. Make those gracious inquiries. Is this offensive unto him? Is this transgressing against him? Will this indeed hurt him? I say, he doesn't lead you in that way, does he? But what I want to say is this. When the Lord leads you in his way, it will be a way which he loves and approves of. He would never ask it of you otherwise. He'd never give you strength and ability so to believe in Jesus Christ and in the virtues of his healing and all atoning blood. No. He brings us, I say, to the right, in the right way, and brings us unto him. Oh, that we might indeed see ourselves differently. And see, I say, Jesus in a completely different way, perhaps what we've heretofore have seen. Yes, I say, ye are complete in him. Have we thought about our old age? Let me tell you, it comes upon us quicker than you may anticipate. And do we think that we'll be so much better when we come there? Not so, my friends. Not a scrap better in and of ourselves. But that enduring love and enduring grace in Christ Jesus is our only hope. That coming to the throne of grace is still our prop and is the place where we come. Surely, why do we come there so often? Because we need it. We need to tell the Lord all our case and difficulties. And it would be no good us saying, it's no good, I cannot come, I cannot do it. My friend, not so. It is he that gives to us the strength and ability. He increases that love to him, where we would say, I go through fire and water for him if he requires it of me. I can add nothing to the virtue of his saving love and grace. But oh, may that love and grace so have that great influence upon me. I say, what a different prospect the Lord Jesus Christ has upon a poor sinner. Does the Lord come and say, as vile as you are, you have got to do this, you have got to do that? I say, how oft times that so, generally so, in the ministry, that poor sinners feel completely unable to go. So unable we may say, I'm not going, and that's it. My friends, we can say what we like. If the Lord speaks to you like he spoke to Jeremiah, he says, go. Go toward the north. Go and speak to this idolatrous people. Go and speak to the enemies of Israel. Go, my friends. And so Jeremiah had to go. Even like Jonah, he had to go. The word of the Lord came unto him the second time. The Lord didn't change his word for Jonah, and I'm sure of this, he won't change his word for you and I, because his word is complete. There's no sin or evidence of sin in it. I think that is a wonderful thing, isn't it? With regards to God's word, there's no reason whatsoever that he should change his mind or his word. Not like you and I. We have to change our mind and our word because we discover that we've overlooked something, left something out. We have to change our word because something has happened we didn't anticipate. But that's not so with God. He knows surely the way that you take. And they say, as Job says, and when he has tried me, I shall come forth as gold. What a wonderful thing that is. When he has tried me. In other words, you won't do the refining, but it's he that does the refining. It is he that puts you in the fire, but he won't leave you in it longer than he wills or has purposed. Oh, I say, how trying that is from time to time. But friend, through his mercy, through his trials, his dealings with us, he's teaching us. His way is complete in Jesus Christ. This is the way my Lord and Saviour trod. This is the way he walked. without rebellion, in complete submission to the Father's will. He declares so. Not my will, but thy will be done. I say, is it then unreasonable that he calls us to walk in the complete way, to finish the course, to come to the end as a completely saved sinner, a triumph of a free and sovereign grace of his glory? Friend, what a mercy. Yea, to be fair, have a God like this in life's journey. As some of you younger ones might say, but you can't go on today like that. Oh no, things are different now. Yes, things are always changing in life. And that is part of history, isn't it? You who studied history. But go on to study the history of the love of Christ and the love of God to man. I am the Lord. I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed in every circumstance that I have arranged for you. I shall be with you. What a blessing that is. Oh, that the Lord is so good to poor and needy sinners. Ye are complete in him. There's another word in Scripture very similar to this, and it's this. We're not sufficient of ourselves to think anything of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of him. Our poor proud hearts, we love to think that we are sufficient for ourselves. And I have to put my hand up and say, I'm guilty. Verily guilty. But the Lord will not have it. He brings us down and makes us completely dependent upon him. Our sufficiency is of him. He knows indeed the logistics of your life and what you really need. He doesn't bid you carry it with you and say, look at me, I know. No, friends. He appears for us in that day and in that hour. He'll leave no room or place for our pride. Seeing that we are complete in him, all the honour and all the glory belongs to him. Does it disappoint you? Does it disappoint you? Oh, that he should bring you to his feet, that you might be able to say that I may be found in him. Yes, what a mercy. Oh, to be found in him. Jesus again and again here upon earth teaches us the way, the path of humility, doesn't he? And do we think we're going to escape the path of humility? I take it a step further. Do we want to pass the step of humility? My friend, humble yourselves therefore, says Peter, under the almighty hand of God. And surely, if Peter knew something about that, or if anybody knew anything about it, Peter did. The Lord humbled him under his almighty hand. Tell me, is a better place to be? Whatever office you hold in this life, than to be found under the almighty hand of God. What a hand that is. What a comfort it is to be found under that hand. Friend, the Lord doesn't crush his people there, but he saves his people from the hand that would crush them. His protection, his comfort and his care to constantly watch over you. I say, humble yourselves under the almighty hand of God, that he might exhort you in due season. Friend, it is a blessed season that awaits his dear people, when you shall be exalted, raised from the pit, and raised to thrones of glory in heaven, to ever be with Jesus, and never to return to sin anymore. Yes. And ye are complete in him. I say, would it be so that any in heaven should say, well, you shouldn't be here? I say, every soul that's there will say, I am here according to God's grace and his mercy. Yes, I am. Oh, by his grace, I am complete in him. Why, he's washed me from all my sins. I am whiter than snow. Through his love and mercy, he gave his precious blood in my stead and place, that God Almighty should justify me, being in heaven, oh, with that happy band forevermore. Oh, to be found complete in him. You may have many goals in life. You may have many promises in life. But surely does this not just supersede them all? To be complete in Jesus Christ, that he may have all the honour, that he may have all the glory. Amen.
I have here, friends, a short message from Mr. Stahauer in Grand Rapids, who has preached here several times and also addressed the Sunday school. Now nearly 88 years old, he wrote to Joan sending his regards to all his friends at Swavesey and said he often thinks of them. May we remember him and especially the Lord as he remembers us. The collections last Lord's Day amounted to £620, for which we're very thankful. And God willing, Mr. Pack is expected to preach on Tuesday evening, and Mr. Fred Ince next Lord's Day, who also hopes to address the Sunday school. Let us now close with hymn 570. The Lord on high his love proclaims, and makes his goodness known. To men deserving endless pains, he gave his only Son. 570. Thank you.
come and pardon and forgive all our mistakes, all we've said amiss. But Lord, if it is thy will that we gather here this evening, oh, we desire, Lord, to gather with thy help and power of the Holy Spirit alone. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the teaching of thy Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Amen.